Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read the section just prior to the triumphal entry, and then, of course, read the triumphal entry account from Luke as well. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 11, and reading through verse 44. This is God's word. As they were listening to this, he went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem and they thought the kingdom of God was going to appear right away. Therefore, he said, "A nobleman traveled to a far country to receive for himself authority to be king and then to return. He called 10 of his servants, gave them 10 minas, and told them, 'Engage in business until I come back.' But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, 'We don't want this man to rule over us.' At his return, having received the authority to be king, he summoned those servants he had given the money to so that he could find out how much they'd made in business. The first came forward and said, 'Master, your mina has earned 10 more minas.' 'Well done, good servant,' he told him. 'Because you have been faithful in a very small matter, have authority over 10 towns.' The second came and said, 'Master, your mina made 5 minas.' So he said to him, 'You will be over 5 towns.' And another came and said, 'Master, here is your mina. I have kept it safe in a cloth because I was afraid of you since you are a harsh man. You collect what you didn't deposit and reap what you didn't sow.' He told him, 'I will condemn you by what you have said, you evil servant. If you knew I was a harsh man, collecting what I didn't deposit and reaping what I didn't sow, why then didn't you put my money in the bank? And when I returned, I would have collected it with interest.' So he said to those standing there, 'Take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.' But they said to him, 'Master, he has 10 minas.' 'I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. And from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. But bring here these enemies of mine who did not want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence.' When he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of the disciples and said, 'Go into the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say this: the Lord needs it.' So those who were sent left and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the young donkey, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the donkey?' 'The Lord needs it,' they said. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their clothes on the donkey, they helped Jesus get on it. As he was going along, they were spreading their clothes on the road. Now he came near the path down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out. As he approached and saw the city, he wept for it, saying, If you knew this day what would bring peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days will come on you when your enemies will build a barricade around you, surround you, and hem you in on every side. They will crush you and your children among you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone on another in your midst, because you did not recognize the time when God visited you. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Normally, on Palm Sunday, preachers just read the story of the triumphal entry. But Jesus gave another story in preparation for what was about to unfold on Palm Sunday. In the verses that we read, starting in verse 11, because as they were nearing Jerusalem, the people thought the kingdom of God was going to appear right away, Jesus told them this story. He told them a story about stewardship. He told them a story about the fact that there is one who will be rejected by many of his subjects, even though he is the one appointed king. We begin our worship, whether it's here on Sunday or during the week at the ranch, by celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. My son Andrew, when he leads worship, is always careful to say that, because it's the truth. Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that the Son of God didn't count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself. He became a servant. He became one of us. And he was humbled through obedience, even to the point of death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is true of all people living. It's true of all people who have died. It is true everywhere. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is Lord of all. Those who reject him will still have to confess him. Those who despise him will still have to bow. And so before the events that are about to happen, before Jesus rides into town on the colt of a donkey, before that occurs, Jesus tells the people something that they really didn't get, but it was true. And that is that it's not up to them to decide who's going to be king. It isn't about popular vote. It isn't about an electoral college. God chose to give the kingdom to Jesus. He is the only begotten of the Father. And he came not only to save, but to reign. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books?
We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his
Jesus, when he's going into Jerusalem, is going there to do the Father's will. He is going there because this is why he came. Jesus, knowing not that there's a risk of death, but that he is going to die. He's already told his disciples that he's going to die. They're refusing to hear it. They're not getting that. He explicitly, repeatedly tells them that he's going to die and that he's going to rise again from the dead. They're just not getting it. That doesn't make sense. They are not willing to hear it. So Jesus is walking ahead of his disciples. And this is a fulfillment of another one of the messianic prophecies. In Isaiah chapter 50, Jesus is speaking prophetically through the prophet Isaiah. And one of the things that he says in verse 7 is, I set my face like a flint to go there. He steeled himself and was determined to go and do what he had come to do. And we see that reflected in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. 10 chapters earlier from where we are right now this morning. But Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, retelling the story later on, sees that even early on, back in chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus is headed with determination for Jerusalem. As he goes, he's leading the way, the disciples are following, and he gives the directions to them concerning his entrance into the city. He's going to ride into town not on a magnificent charger. He's going to ride into town not even just on a donkey. He's going to ride in on a colt of a donkey that's never been ridden before. Jesus said to his disciples, you go ahead now, and you're going to find a colt tied that's never been ridden. You just walk up. You don't buy it. You don't rent it. You just walk up and untie it and bring it to me. And when they ask you, why are you untying it, which is exactly what happened, then you tell them the Lord needs it. I want you to see, those who were sent found it just as he had told them. I'm in my mid-60s. I've known the Lord since I was a preschooler. One thing that I've observed over and over and over and over is that everything is exactly like God says. The more you study the Bible, the more you will see this is exactly true. What it says about human nature, what it says about the creation, what it says about everything is exactly the truth. Everything is exactly as he told us. So, as they were untying the young donkey, its owners said to them, why are you untying the donkey? The Lord needs it, they said. And then they brought it to Jesus. They put their cloaks on it. Jesus got on this little animal and rode into Jerusalem. Where did Jesus get an idea like that? Well, over and over as things happened, Jesus said this had to happen in order to fulfill the scriptures. This is exactly what God had said would happen when Messiah came in Zechariah 9:9. That the coming of Messiah would not be the glorious king that the people were expecting to deliver them from Rome, He would be coming humble, lowly, riding on the foal of a donkey. And so Jesus meticulously fulfills the prophecies. But not just in matters where he gave direction and the people obeyed, and so it came to pass just as was written. But in other things, like his birth in Bethlehem, like the fact that when he hung on the cross, Gentiles would be dividing his clothes and casting lots for his garment. All those details orchestrated by God, because it had to be just as God spoke it. So the disciples didn't really get that at the time. The Gospel of John tells us that they would understand that later. But in the moment, John tells us they didn't understand. They didn't say, oh, Zechariah 9:9. For one thing, there were no chapter and verse divisions back then. But for another, it was hidden from them. They didn't get it. They knew the scriptures, but that was a detail they hadn't picked up on. And the only reason I know that is because John's gospel tells us so. But Jesus knew all the details because he is the Word of God, and he had given the Word of God. So now Jesus is riding into town on this colt, and there are people who've come out to greet him because they'd heard about his having raised Lazarus from the dead, and they knew about miracles he'd done before. I mean, this was exciting. The buzz is out. Jesus is a celebrity coming into town. The crowds had been so great that those who wanted to kill him didn't feel like they could do it because they were afraid the crowds would turn on them. And that's why they kept looking for a way to kill Jesus. But the crowds, oh, they thought Jesus was wonderful. They loved Jesus. Well, not exactly. They loved the idea of Jesus doing what they wanted. They loved the idea of Jesus giving free meals, making sick people well. They loved the idea of Jesus overthrowing the yoke of Rome. But the idea of personally submitting their lives to him, taking up their cross to follow him, not so much. As they were shouting praises, quoting scripture, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." The Pharisees were upset, because what these people were saying made it sound as if they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And the Pharisees thought Jesus needed to make those people stop. Don't let them say those things. There will always be people who are upset by the exuberant worship that some offer. There really were people who loved Jesus, but the majority within the week would have a different cry on their lips. The objection of the Pharisees was met with Jesus' response, "I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out." I want to reiterate what I said at the start. Jesus Christ is Lord. The creation knows it. The rocks have more sense than a lot of sinners, because Jesus Christ is Lord. When he told the wind and the waves, "Be quiet," they obeyed. And the disciples were terrified and they said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The demons knew who Jesus is. And they obeyed when he cast them out. But I wonder, how many today really believe Jesus Christ is Lord? Jesus knew that the crowd would turn against him. Jesus knew that in a matter of just a few days, they would be yelling, "Crucify! Crucify!" Not all of them. It wasn't all the same people. But the crowd that would take the day later that week was the crowd that would call for his death. And so Jesus wept. But not because of his suffering. Not because of his own impending death. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. He wept for the city, saying, "If you knew this day, what would bring peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days will come on you when your enemies will build a barricade around you, surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you and your children among you to the ground. And they will not leave one stone on another in your midst, because you did not recognize the time when God visited you." John chapter 1. He was in the world and the world was made by him. Came to his own and his own did not receive him. It was tragic. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And yet when it came right down to it, they didn't realize what their own deepest need was. It wasn't for the paralyzed man on the mat to get his health back. It was that his sins might be forgiven. And when Jesus forgave his sin, the Pharisees wanted to accuse him of blasphemy. Because only God can forgive sins. They didn't want it to be true. They didn't want Jesus to bring forgiveness. They wanted to preserve their own dead rituals, their own man-made laws, their system where they got to be the experts. Jesus came to die. He knew on Palm Sunday that he would be in the grave before the week was out. He knew that this was the reason that he had to be born, so that as man, he could be the sacrifice for humankind. Men and women, boys and girls can only be saved through the blood of Jesus. He is the only one who brings salvation. He came to save, not to die in vain, but to offer his life as the perfect atonement, bearing the wrath of God that we deserve. And as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Folks, that's why, even as we meditate on the suffering and death of our Lord this week, even as we consider what Jesus went through on our behalf, we rejoice. We talk about Good Friday because Jesus paid it all. Because of what he came to do, which he accomplished, there's victory. There's peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.